to receive honors and to receive awards is, it's nice. I'll be honest with you, you can't do it alone. For everything that I'm successful with, every benefit that I have, every honor or award that I've received, someone else has also paid the cost for that.
Welcome to Be a Baller, where we discuss how to build a lifelong legacy. I'm your host, Coach Tim Brown. Today, we're talking about building a legacy in business and serving the community with our special guest, Luke Fetler. Today on the show, Luke will share his commitment to helping athletes navigate the new and complicated name, image, and likeness in college sports. Luke also finds time to serve his community through Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Luke, welcome to the show.
Coach Tim, thank you so much, man.
It's good. Boy, you have had quite a life journey.
Is this true?
Oh, man, I was doing some research on it.
Oh, boy.
I read that when you were 8 or 9 years old, you pleaded with your adopted parents, who were both pastors, for something very few guys they didn't even think about. It wasn't a toy. It wasn't a bike. You wanted a briefcase.
I wanted a briefcase.
Around. Man, yeah. Why was that so important to have that briefcase?
You know, it's hard to just put myself back in that 8-year-old, 9-year-old mind to say why specifically. But as I look back, for me, it really was all about a briefcase signified business, success, drive. You had some place to go and some things you had to carry with you. Like for me, it was so much more than just, you know, just a kind of a random ask. It meant a lot. And here I am now, you know, living my life in business and the law. I don't really carry a briefcase. I put everything in my backpack now. But yeah, I think sometimes, you know, you need to, just like we, you know, speak those things as though they were, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
And that's what I think I was doing back at that age.
So this is 8, 9 years old. Now, what did the other kids think about you?
Oh, man, you know, some of them got on me. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I made that briefcase look good. but it was, it was something special. And I'll tell you, you know, I referenced that story in an article, a few years ago. And a good friend of mine, actually my best friend, actually got me a replica, actual replica of that briefcase from 30 plus years ago.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge. You know, I know you grew up with adopted parents. Can you talk about how that experience helped you become the man, husband, and father you are today?
Oh, man, we're going to get emotional right from the beginning, huh? I'll tell you, I am who I am because of the opportunities that I had.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, we all are a product of our experiences.
Yes.
And we have moments in time where people come into our lives and they come into our lives. I think oftentimes to really help effectuate God's will in our lives. Mm. And I think that, you know, when I look at, being adopted, it wasn't, I won't say that it was this fairy tale story that just like, oh, all of a sudden I was adopted and everything was right with the world. There were still some challenges. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I am who I am because of my experiences. Mm-hmm. I am the father that I am because I care so deeply. I've got two kids and I care so deeply about them because I remember being a kid and feeling like, you know, being adopted, like, was I wanted, not wanted, and all those kind of questions. I'm the husband that I am, because I care so deeply about that those bonds of love. So yeah, without question that affected, really who I am today.
Hey there, Clark Kellogg here. Building a legacy usually involves meeting the unique needs of others and being part of something bigger than yourself. That's why I love First Merchants Bank. First Merchants believes that helping communities prosper means more than just providing banking services. It means offering accessible financial education, expanded access to home ownership, and partnerships with local nonprofits to help raise up neighborhoods and lift families out of financial hardship. For resources and tools available to you, visit www.firstmerchants.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Can you talk about your faith and the role it's played in your lifetime of success?
Wow. For the next 3 hours, we're gonna have a conversation on faith. No, I'll tell you, it plays a significant role. It plays a significant role in who I am. Yes. At the end of the day, you know, my parents were pastors, so I kind of grew up a preacher's kid. But that was just the beginning of the story, right? At the end of the day, I think faith is when it becomes real to you, right? Yes. And so faith really started becoming real to me in college, maybe late high school, early college, and it continues to play a role today. I'll tell you that I think we all know our shortcomings. Yes. We all know our faults. We all know that we're not perfect, but God is perfect. Mm. And I try to always remember to tap into that perfection throughout the day. So while I don't have the, you know, like a traditional, like regular prayer time, dedicated prayer time, I find myself praying throughout the day all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I find myself in the car, even driving up here, right? Having conversations and really just, you know, just thinking about faith and all that, because, you know, work is stress and work is challenge and the world that we live in is challenging. And so I think to be grounded in faith allows us to navigate really some challenging times in life.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. You know, you also share a story about the meaning of your birth name and the positive impact it had on your life. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, so I was, just to give a quick snapshot, I was, when I was born, I don't know who my biological father is, and my biological mother really wasn't just fully able to take care of me, had some mental health challenges. And so I lived with her and her boyfriend at the time for the first few years of my life before I was in the foster care and then ultimately adopted. And my name before I was adopted was Rex Noble. And when I was adopted, my name was changed. My parents changed my name to Luke Fedlin, which is, you know, how I'm known today. They kept my middle name. My middle name was Alan before I was adopted. I mean, middle name continues to be Alan, which is the name of my son. And when I was growing up, I really wasn't attached to this idea of Rex Noble. It didn't really mean much to me. It, you know, didn't think much of it. And then I remember in 10th grade or 11th grade AP English with Miss Van Loon, who was my teacher at the time. We read about Oedipus Rex, and she was talking about Oedipus Rex and talked about how Rex in Latin meant king, and I almost lost my mind. So you mean to tell me Rex means king, man, and my name was Rex Noble? And so I just started thinking about what that meant to be a noble king, and I think names have meaning and names have power. And it was something I'll never forget. And I continue to this day to just think about that and walk in who I am. I am a noble king.
That's good. That's good. Something how God has a way of, the Bible says all things work together.
Amen.
For the good of those
who
love the Lord, called according to his purpose. So there was a purpose behind that.
Amen.
Even your mom think there was a purpose.
You know? And that's what really kind of just blew my mind is to think, because I asked her kind of where did she get the name Rex from, and she didn't really have much of an answer that I can remember. And so just to hear the power behind that, man, all things do work together.
All together. You know, speaking of that, you know, you were a Division I athlete.
A little bit.
No, you had a Wake Forest and all that. What are some of those lessons you learned from being a college athlete that help you today as you work with athletes?
Sure. So I was so I ran cross country and track, and I competed for a year when I was in college. Wake Forest. I was fast. I was not ACC fast.
Right.
but it's a little different. But I will say though, you know, we had a great high school program, right? Which truly allowed me to believe that I could do anything. Yeah. And just thinking about it in high school and in college, just there's something that comes with healthy competition. I'm a big fan of personal assessment, and I've done many different assessments. And one of them that I've done is called Strength Finders, and it identifies your strengths. It talks about how we are made up of our strengths. And oftentimes we want to just focus on our weaknesses to overcome them, when oftentimes we really should look at our strengths and continue to build and dive into our strengths. And my top two strengths in life are positivity and competition. Mm. And when I look at those two together and I think about my experience as a student athlete from a time management perspective, from a teamwork perspective, from a being able to manage all of the pressures that you faced and the stressors that you faced, positive competition for me was everything, right? Being able to be positive about the day when I would wake up in the morning. I still carry that to this day. When I talk to athletes today, I share with them that positivity. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why is because, especially if you're an elite athlete at the most elite level, you've usually been that elite athlete for quite a while. If you're playing professionally, you've been identified since you were in probably middle school or even earlier as an elite athlete. And so you end up having this group surrounding you that feed into that. And oftentimes you can lose sight of your own identity outside of your sport. Mm-hmm. And so I continue to use positivity to help people understand, like, there's so much more to you than just an athlete. Yes. LeBron talks about being more than an athlete, but there's also studies that get into this idea of identity foreclosure in athletes. Mm-hmm. And this idea that I've been identified my entire life as an athlete, that whenever that time comes to an end and that identity is foreclosed upon, that I'm no longer an athlete, and then who am I? And that's why I think, especially talking about faith and everything, like, that's, we know who we are in Christ Jesus, right? So we know who we are and within our faith. And so being grounded in that yes, you could be an elite athlete and have all the skills in the world, it's a gift.
Yes.
I feel I'm gifted in being an advisor, a counselor, a speaker.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that I continue to use that positivity and use those perspectives to positively impact the lives of others.
The team at the Financial Solutions Network is proud to partner with Tim Brown and bring you this episode of Be a Baller. Our mission is to share generously of our time, talent, and financial resources to help our clients develop financial plans and wealth management strategies that allow them to live the lives they imagine while connecting them with experiences and people that enhance their quality of life. FCA is one of those organizations by helping young men and women through the development of their personal faith. The Financial Solutions Network is an independently owned and managed wealth advisory firm based in Worthington, Ohio. We are a multi-generational professional team of advisors with a combined 83 years of experience teaching and managing financial strategies for individuals, families, businesses, and institutions. We would be honored to help you plan your financial journey. Contact us at 614-505-3025. Or visit our website at tfsn.net.
As a successful partner and head of the sports law practice group at Porter Wright Morris and Arthur LLP, you are known as a self-proclaimed protector of possibilities.
That's right.
What does that mean, to be a protector?
I work every single day to protect the possibilities that athletes have. A lot of times people ask, like, oh, what do you do? Or who are you? Right.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's easy for people to say, oh, that's Luke. He's a lawyer. Right. Mm. Oh, no, I'm a lawyer. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. But I'm so much more than that.
Mm.
And when I took the time, I don't know, this is maybe 7-8 years ago, maybe even more, to really think about what is it that I'm doing? Not just what is my job, what is my title, but what am I actually doing? I want to protect the possibilities that others have.
Mm.
So to me, I do that in two ways. One, as a lawyer, I'm literally protecting the opportunities that athletes have.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that athletes have an opportunity to have a positive impact on themselves, their families, and their communities. Mm. And yet so often they're targets to be taken advantage of.
Mm.
So I want to work every single day through legal means to protect them so they're not taken advantage of. But I also care deeply about education. And I feel that education is one of the number one protectors that we have out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people perish for lack of knowledge. Yes. We want to make sure that that we're delivering knowledge, understanding, and education to athletes. That's what I do on the work side. But that same opportunity and that same desire to protect possibilities, I look at my kids.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the possibility in the world to do great things far beyond what I've ever done. Yes. I want to protect that every single day. When I think about the things that I do in the community, whether it's through fraternity, whether it's through boards that I sit on, I'm a busy person. So the lens that I make a decision, the lens through which I look to make a decision as to what I'm going to spend my time with, is this going to help protect somebody else and the possibilities that they have to go on and do great things? And if I can do that, then I know that I'm spending my time in well-spent ways.
Wow, we might as well pass the plate and this. You know, a lot of people talk about this name, image, and likeness and opportunities for college athletes. And they talk about it, but you're right there on the ground floor. Can you talk about that and just the positive opportunities?
As oh, absolutely. College athletes. For those who don't know, name, image, and likeness, or NIL, is the opportunity for student athletes to commercialize or lend for compensation the use of their name, their image, their likeness. The opportunity for an athlete to get paid in ways that student athletes at the college level have never been able to be paid before. I have the opportunity to go and speak to colleges and universities, their athletic departments. In fact, just flew in last night. I was with Texas A&M over the last couple of days. You know, we work with Michigan State, Ohio State, schools all across the country. And I view it as a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I view it as a great opportunity, not because, you know, people get so caught up in this idea of should college student athletes get paid? Should college student athletes earn money? Shouldn't they be doing what they do for the love of the game? But what that misses out on is two things. One, it misses out on the fact that student athletes are the product upon which a multi-billion dollar business is being built. And so NIL is solely about athletes being able to go out and make money on their own, right? There are other conversations around revenue share and around student athletes as employees. We're not even talking about that. We're just simply talking about should a student athlete have the same right as a student at a university who plays an instrument, and that student who plays an instrument can go out and do a concert and make money off of that, a student athlete should be able to go out and earn compensation as well. And so that's one thing that it's missing. And the other thing that it's missing is what a great opportunity to teach life skills that athletes so desperately need than by having name, image, and likeness, right? So now we can start to teach things like financial literacy, budgeting, planning. We can talk about contracts and understanding something before you sign your name to it. We can talk about how are you making decisions so we can help athletes understand this business that's happening around them. Because with name, image, and likeness come a whole lot of opportunities, but with those opportunities come responsibilities. And so the opportunity for us, again, to protect the possibilities of these athletes is to be able to teach them about business, teach them about money, teach them about legal concepts so that they can protect themselves and that they can navigate the space effectively.
Amen. That's well said. That's well said. You know, as I think about all these things that you're doing for athletes and whatnot, but you know, why is it so important for you to find time to give back to your community through your involvement with your fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha? Why is that so important to you?
Yeah, really it is a matter of, it's kind of the price that we should pay, right? Mm-hmm. Service is the price we should pay for the opportunities that we have. And so being able to give back is, it's really something that's important to me. It's something that I've kind of always felt growing up, that I knew that I had opportunities. I had a kind of a crazy upbringing that opportunities really helped set me up for success in life. And I want to be able to provide those opportunities for others. Being involved with Alpha, I'll tell you, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, our mission statement is that we develop leaders, that we promote brotherhood and academic excellence, while at the same time providing service and advocacy for our communities. Mm-hmm. And that takes shape in so many different ways. We have young youth groups that we work on social emotional learning. We work on just development in as they navigate high school. We do work where obviously we're going to be doing a whole turkey drive next week, getting ready for Thanksgiving. And we're engaged in some of the legal various political issues that our communities are dealing with, and then just going out and serving meals and getting involved and engaged in a lot of different ways to advocate for our communities. To me, that's everything. Mm-hmm. And the icing on the cake is to be able to plug in and doing it with a group of individuals who have that same mindset of, I want to make an impact. I want to make life better for somebody else. To be able to do that, to me, that is the gold standard.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of that, you've received quite a bit of honors.
Oh, boy.
Well, you were recently the Alumni Brother of the Year for the Alpha Phi Fraternity Incorporated Midwest Region. And then you were blessed to be the keynote speaker at the City of Columbus, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Marching Program. Can you talk about those experiences and what that meant to you?
Coach Tim, you really be doing your research out here, man. I'll tell you, so to receive honors and to receive awards is it's nice, but I'll be honest with you, you can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. For everything that I'm successful with, every benefit that I have, every honor or award that I've received, someone else has also paid the cost for mm-hmm. that. I always recognize my kids, my wife, because even though it sounds great to go out and do this service work on top of the work that I'm already doing, yes. that's oftentimes time away from the kids. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm so honored and excited because my son is engaged with our Junior Esquires program in Alpha Phi Alpha. So, you know, now we get to, you know, engage in that together, yeah. which is awesome. So I always acknowledge that other people have sacrificed oftentimes for the work that I'm able to do. I will tell you, though, to be able to be the keynote speaker for the city of Columbus for their MLK Day parade, their march mm-hmm. and program, for me, was just on a whole different level. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Jr. was a member of the same fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha mm-hmm. Fraternity Incorporated. And to be able to adequately represent what I feel like he would want to talk about today, and to be able to do that on stage was just an incredible mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. And the approach that I took was, I talked about the two Columbuses mm-hmm. because there are so many speeches that we could talk about that he gave, so many writings that you could mm-hmm. go into. And we oftentimes have this very flowery view of MLK. Mm-hmm. But he was also an antagonist that was driven for people to understand where there were inequalities in our system of living, our system of government. And so I wanted to take that same approach in talking about, in Columbus, we have some of the most amazing opportunities. Mm-hmm. We have Intel that's bringing billions of dollars to Central Ohio. We have, you know, a great, you know, one of the leading, you know, institutions in Ohio State right here. We've got so many businesses coming into Central Ohio. We have great opportunities, but yet we have challenges. Mm-hmm. We have a youth violence challenge. Mm-hmm. We have challenges with affordable housing. We have challenges with homelessness and an unhoused population. So there are some challenges too, but what does that mean? That means that we get to work together to fix and address those issues. Mm-hmm. But we can't address issues that we don't call out and that we don't recognize. Mm-hmm. And so I viewed it as my mission to call those things out so that we can have a renewed energy mm-hmm. in going after and addressing those issues.
That's good. That's good. You know, this is a legacy podcast.
Yeah.
What does that word mean to you? And what legacy are you building through your work in business and service?
Yeah. Legacy is a powerful, heavy, big word. Mm-hmm. It's something that I have been thinking about a lot lately. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about what is my legacy. I think sometimes it's hard to say, I'm going to go do this because it builds my legacy. Mm-hmm. But when you get asked a question like this, it forces you to kind of look backwards a bit to say, mm-hmm. what is it that I'm doing? What are decisions that I've made to positively impact my legacy? And I will say, you know, for me, you know, number one, it's family first. Mm-hmm. And I look at, you know, opportunities and creating opportunities for my kids to be able to go on and, like I said, exceed me.
Yes.
But at the same time, when I think about impacting community, when I think about the work that I'm doing, oftentimes to leave a legacy, it means we are doing something that hasn't been done the same way previously, right? Sure. Because legacy, if I were to just do everything that's already been done, then all I'm doing is just kind of getting on the same kind of pathway as someone else, right? And so is that someone else's legacy then? Mm. Or is that my legacy? And so you have to think about what are the things that we individually are doing that is different than what has maybe either been done in our lives or done in our communities or in our profession in the past. And so I think about this work that I'm doing with individual athletes. I know for a fact, from a legal perspective, mm-hmm. being a sports lawyer, it would be far more lucrative for our firm, for me in sports law, to work with leagues and unions and teams as clients, as opposed to the individual athlete, mm-hmm. right? Leagues are spending millions and millions of dollars from a legal perspective. Mm-hmm. Teams, millions of dollars from a legal perspective. individual athletes, they're not spending millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, if I'm doing what's right for them, right, we're protecting them on the front end so they don't have to go through litigation and have legal spend later, right? Yeah. So that is not the norm when it comes to, right, building out a practice. But for me, it's legacy. For me, it's an opportunity to say, yes, you can work with individual athletes, treat them like business owners that they are, and help them be successful as they navigate life. I think about, you know, the work in the community that I'm doing and how can we continue to be creative in this? So I could talk for hours about legacy. And I will tell you that there's even more yet to come. So maybe the next season or a couple seasons from now, you'll have me back and we can talk more about it, because I think there are some even greater things coming.
Still building. You know, this has been a great conversation, you know, as we kind of work our way around the corner. What word of encouragement would you share with young people who may feel they have no hope and are on their own trying to figure out direction in life?
Yeah. Don't give up. Hmm. Believe. I'll tell you, I have no lawyers in my family. Okay. That was new. I was in the military. And I joined after college, which was odd. I was working at an investment firm, and 9/11 happened when I was working, and decided to join the Army National Guard because I wanted to serve and give back in that way to our community, and then our larger country as well. And there were a lot of things that I have navigated in life that I didn't have a blueprint for, or that maybe I didn't have the guidance for. I will tell you, we are more connected now in life and in society than ever before, right? When you and I were coming up, there was no LinkedIn, there was no social media, there was no way to connect with people in industries that we're interested in. Mm. What I would say to young people is, even if you are struggling or you have despair now because you just don't see what the path is, think about what interests you. What do you like? There's so much out there. And now we can be connected with people that can help mentor us in those spaces. Yeah. I have people that reach out to me on LinkedIn or that send an email. I mean, most of my information, because I'm at a law firm, is all public information. Mm-hmm. People can find me and people reach out and ask questions. And I'm happy when I can make the time, I'm happy to provide some perspective. And so I would tell young people, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever your biggest dream is, go after it. Mm-hmm. Don't give up on it. Don't, even though you may not see how I'm going to get from point A to point B or point A to point M, it may not be a straight line. Right. It may have some zigzags, but that's okay, because you are a product of your experience, as we talked about before. And so all of your experiences, all of your conversations, that's all going to help build up to the legacy that you leave in life. And so don't be afraid to go after it.
Wow. Luke, I want to thank you for that boy with the briefcase. Thank you for that, boy. And now look at the man now.
Amen.
You know, and I know you see a lot of these guys, you see like you, you know, boys just dreaming. That's why I love bringing people on the show who can kind of share, you know, their life, because people see the glory, but they don't know the story.
Come on now. Now you preaching the word. You know, that's right.
They see us in our glory, but they don't know the story.
They absolutely do.
Now they know the story, so they can get to the glory.
That's right. Come on.
But anyway, this brings us to the end of this episode. So I want to thank our special guest, Attorney Luke Fedlin, for sharing his heart to serve athletes and helping others in our community to make this community and world better. Thank you for joining us for this enlightening and informative discussion on building a legacy in business and service. Hope this episode was beneficial to you all for listening. As always, thanks for listening to Be a Baller Podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share this podcast with family and friends. Be a Baller Podcast is available on all major podcast stations. Be sure to come back next week as we continue to discuss on how to build a lifelong legacy. Until then, don't forget to be a baller. This podcast was created by Coach Tim Brown. It was edited by Tehran Howe and produced and recorded by the video production class of Worthington Christian High School.